Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart Scott, it is time. Again, we'll get back into the Julius Randle Knicks conversation, everything. They play tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. I think it's a 7 o'clock tip, right? 6:30 is the pregame, if I'm not mistaken. Right here on 98.7 ESPN. But yesterday, you had two teams that I know you had personal feelings with.
Yeah.
And in both games, those teams let you down. Now, let's start. I want to start
down
in Detroit.
Let me down for different reasons.
Right. Well, now, the Ravens to me are going to – that we're going to spend more time on that because that's very personal to you.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into Lamar Jackson, Ravens, and all that stuff, give me what happened to the Detroit Lions in the second half after leading by 17, and it looked like they had opportunities to put the game away just with field goals.
Yeah.
And Dan Campbell, who all throughout the year went for it on fourth and third or fewer. He did do it a lot. So that was that they had it wasn't new. And he stuck to it. It blew up in their face. And they ended up losing. And it was a painful loss for a franchise that had never gotten to a Super Bowl. And once again, still won't be there.
Well, when you go to Vegas and sometimes you beat the house.
Right.
Eventually, the house always wins, right? So you go with the statistics of, you know, what he's done and what this team has done over the course of the year. The numbers and the statistics are going to back that, hey, maybe you should, you know, they should go for it. This is what they do.
Right.
But you also got to consider the opponents in which they did it against. Like, at this point, this is a 49ers team that has shown just last week that they can come back from being dominated in the first half, right?
Mm-hmm.
They shown that, hey, and maybe that's them, you know, being afraid and saying, okay, we need all the points we can get. But some points sometimes is better than no points, especially when it's a 48-yard field goal. You talk about, you know, third down. That can go either way, right? Even if it's 60-40, like you want to continue to put the pressure on Brock Purdy, who was feeling the pressure. And I feel like once the momentum came, they were able to make the plays. And then – the football guys always allow the football to bounce the other way. You talk about the fumble by Gibbs. You also talk about, you know, the crazy catch by Ayuk. I just feel like they panicked. And, you know, you talk about scoring no points in the second half or not putting any points on the board.
Third quarter.
They had an opportunity to get it done, you know, and they laid the egg. And sometimes when momentum starts to slip your way, it's up to the coaches to be able to get it. You know, when you look at it, right, and it was true in both games. Usually when you come out and a team jumps on a team, it's a example of the coaching staff having a better plan. So when you look at the San Francisco Detroit game, clearly Ben Johnson had their number. And then you have to understand most coordinators – some can make adjustments on the fly. Most make them at halftime. So then they went in and made the adjustments in halftime and came out in the third quarter and found ways to slow down that offense. You know, that's why, you know, you always hear about the great coaches, whether it's Bill Belichick or whatever scheme he's in. He has one plan in the first half and another plan in the second half, because you have to understand that adjustments are going to be made. And on the flip side, you saw in the Ravens game, you saw early on Kansas City – had the advantage as far as the call ball schematically, because they knew that, okay, well, the Ravens are a zone team. Okay, Travis Kelce's the best in the business. You can't really prepare for somebody that just makes routes up, right, and just sits anywhere, because you have to sit in your zone.
And the quarterback does the same thing. And the two of them, a couple of times, were just
simpatico.
It
up. Right, they
right.
just make it up.
Yes.
And they talked about that chemistry that they had early in the season.
Right, but stay with the Lions here. Because the Lions thing, this was the big debate this morning on Get Up, which was fascinating. It was one of the best Get Ups I've watched. It was so good today because they hit everything that needed to be hit, and no one had the same opinion, which was even better. But the one thing that was, I thought, consistent among almost everyone, although Rex was not on page with this, is that while Dan Campbell has, and again, 34% of the time on fourth quarter, he went for it, the highest rate of any team in this century.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he has gone for it on fourth down. The confidence he talked about, believing in his team, and all that stuff. The rest of us are watching this game, Bart, and you explain it as a player. The rest of us are watching it, thinking you are this close to a Super Bowl that your franchise, your beleaguered, beaten-down franchise has never been to. It is that's the time to be conservative and take the points, right?
Yeah.
That's how we feel watching it. He disagreed. Now, what do the numbers tell us? ESPN Analytics said on the 4th and 2 from the 49ers 28, this was the difference in winning. 90.5% if he went for it, 90.3% if he kicked the field goal. So while it slightly favors going for it, you kick the field goal. And on the other one, the 4th and 3, winning percent, your winning chances, 39% at that time on the 30. If you field goal, 38.8. Once again, it's never a sure thing with a kicker, correct? We all know this. And then, of course, if he misses the kick, what are we going to do but second guess it? So watching from home, we're all screaming at the TV, take the points.
Right.
But what are you thinking as a player?
Especially in the third quarter, like, take the points. Let's slow down their momentum.
There you go.
Right? Let's slow down their momentum. Let's give our defense a chance to kick off and to let them think, oh, man, they just scored points. Right? It's a mental thing as well. And, like, in my opinion, kick the field goal. And then let's reset our defense and challenge our defense to make them go 80.
Okay, so you believe too.
Yes.
Take the points.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not of the thinking, oh, no, this is who we are. This is, we have to execute.
No.
Reynolds has to catch a freaking pass. You're not feeling that.
It shouldn't be automatic, right? And you're asking Reynolds, who have made plays, but he had two major drops yesterday.
Big time.
Right? So, like, you're asking, like, take the points. Let's reset.
Now, if he misses the first one, then you don't kick the second one.
But you feel yourself losing ground. You
yes.
feel yourself the game slipping away, right?
Yes. The building turned, everything turned.
They came out, they started, went to 17, then it went to 10.
Yeah.
Then it went to 3.
No, you could feel it.
You can feel it, right? So, like, let's just get points to reset. And then let's let our kickoff team and, who knows, maybe one of their kickoff returners try and be a hero and he fumbles the ball.
That's right. Anything can happen.
Right. So you put all the pressure on you to gotta have it, right? You know how discouraging it is for offense to go all the way down the field and then to lose it, right? We saw it in the first game, right, with Pacheco.
Right.
Like, it can make a difference. It's a momentum shift. So you were trying to gather the momentum. I can see if it was one of those things where, like, no matter what, 49ers wasn't moving the ball anyway, so you're going to believe on your defense. Like, it don't matter. Even if they get the ball, we're up, we'll stop them, they'll punt, and we'll be right back with a good return. But your defense was reeling. They needed some positivity. They needed to be able to make, continue to make them one-dimensional, having to throw the ball and not hand it off to McCaffrey, right? But you took that away because you didn't put the points on the board, right? So you're talking about, hey, put the points on the board. You got it. So you have to read the game. In my opinion, you have to read the moment, and the house always wins eventually, and you have to understand against the opponent you're going to, you were losing the momentum, and it was time to take a breath and reset.
I love that you said not the house money thing, the house always winning, but that you said when you look at stats like I gave you, 34% of the time they would go for it, and there was some crazy number that Hembo had. It was like 20 of 26, some crazy. If it was 4th and 3rd or fewer, they had a very high completion rate, like, of getting the first down. And you said something, as you said earlier, but that's against a bunch of different teams in different situations in different times of the year.
Yeah, if those teams was injured. Like, context
this is the playoffs
matters.
Against a great defense.
The best that this one has to offer, and you were giving it to them. And listen, you're not going to get touchdowns on every drive. Kick a field goal.
Right.
That's what it's for.
Take the points when they're there. I completely agree.
And the last one was 48, but the other one was like on the 20-yard line.
Yeah, it was on the 28. Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, the other one was on the 30. So, all right, with all that stuff in mind, like that game aside, that's the Lions, so the pain continues in Detroit.
I mean, they're optimistic, but like Dan Campbell said,
I want you to
getting back is listen. Yeah,
I'm going to play it. I want to play it because before we close this, that's what I was going to do. We're going to play this. I want you to react to it as a player. Then we'll get into, of course, to me again, the game that I can't wait to talk to you about is the Ravens and what happened there with them and the Chiefs. But here's Dan Campbell. You talk about keeping it real. This is Dan Campbell after the game, understanding that what they just experienced could be the only time they ever experience it.
This may have been our only shot. Do I think that? No. Do I believe that? No. However, I know how hard it is to get here. I'm well aware, and it's going to be twice as hard to get back to this point next year than it was this year.
Now, Bart, you got there in consecutive years with the Jets.
I got there 3 years in a row.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I said with the Jets, but you're right. You were with the Ravens right before that, and then what'd they do the next year?
Right.
So the point I'm making is...
it's exhausting
to
get back. Like, and this, the crazy thing is...
So he's not wrong to say
that? No, this is the heart, listen. This is the one that hurts the most. Like, when you ask the football gods, you just say, get me to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever my fate is, my fate is.
Right.
But not to be able to live what that week is about, not to be able to have the 2 weeks off, to go through the festivities, to be on the sideline with all the flyover, the long halftime, not to do that, like, it's tough to swallow. And, like, what happens is, like, they went as far as most teams, right? So now they're going to have a shorter offseason, longer to heal up. Just think, everybody else has healed up for like a month. So they're going to start training. Everything's going to be pushed back a little bit for you. As far as your body feeling right, guys got to get surgeries, held off surgeries. Everything's going to be different, and it's going to make it longer than next year. So then you talk about, okay, well, who are the Lions? The Lions were a team that ascended out of nowhere. Who's the team next year that's going to ascend out of nowhere? Like, we don't think that Kellen Moore with Jalen Hurts may be able to fix that. All right, so now Philly may be a lot more improved. Vic Fangio, you don't think they can fix that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then
they're also not going to be anybody's surprise anymore.
Right. Teams are going to be getting up looking at you as the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's make sure we talk. How does Green Bay look now? Green Bay boat raced you on Thanksgiving.
And they were one step behind you
in the
playoff run. Right
they boat there. Raced you on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the good thing about the Lions is that they have about $53 million to improve their defense. They're solid as far as everything they've done on the offensive side. Their corners are garbage. And they can go out and address that in a big way. But that still doesn't guarantee anything, because guess what happens? You do that, and then one of your major pieces gets injured or a guy goes down. So the fact that they were a healthy team, that doesn't happen. We just watched the Baltimore Ravens for 2 years be without Lamar Jackson and be unhealthy and him going down. We just watched Joe Burrow not be able to finish. Two times in his career, he hasn't been able to finish. So it's about being good, but it's also about being lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets hurt. Everybody has to deal with injuries. It's about when you get injured.
So that's the thing with teams like this, especially. So
you can't assume anything.
Which is why, again, we go back to the last point, which is when you know how delicate these runs are, you take the points. Now, let's get into the team that you really have blood with, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. And you talked a lot about Lamar Jackson and how big this moment was for him. And is it fair for me to say that aside from that first touchdown, which was an unbelievable, like his first half.
But it shouldn't have to be like that.
His first
quarterback play ain't supposed to look like that.
Okay. Well, in the beginning, I was like, wow, he's got something special going here. And then more and more as the game went on, especially the interception, you just start looking like, is he playing too fast? Like, is he speeding himself up?
Yeah.
Is he trying to outplay Mahomes? Because Mahomes was, Bart, again, I'm going to give it to you from my eyes as just a viewer, then you go from the football side of it. But Mahomes looked like a magician again. And he and Kelce had some type of telepathy that you can't explain.
Yeah.
And he was making bad receivers look good. It was just phenomenal performance. Am I wrong to say that I felt like Lamar Jackson tried to outplay Mahomes rather than just play your game. What happened?
So here's the thing. When you have a defense that you watch that has been dominant against everybody, against the good teams, remember? This is a team that
the Ravens has, defense, yes.
This is a team that has beat good teams by a lot, right? Beat Miami up, beat Detroit up, beat San Francisco up. And all of a sudden, you see them being methodically dismantled. You start panicking. And I thought Todd Monken panicked, and he lost their identity.
The offensive coordinator.
Anytime you see Lamar Jackson, and remember, they didn't have the ball a lot, have 37 pass attempts, something's wrong. Something died. You would think that they were down by 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the game was still in hand, and you're supposed to be true to who you are. Now, Gus Edwards had three carries, but one of those carries was like 16 yards. So it's not like, you know, he wasn't averaging, you know, he wasn't able to run the ball. Like, oh, man. They only ran the ball six times.
That doesn't make sense.
A Baltimore Ravens team that led the league in rushing over 158 yards a game only had six rushing attempts.
In the second half. They had 16 rushes for the whole game.
Those, half of those was Lamar.
But it was
and
eight
those
of,
were scrambles.
Eight of
so
them
don't
were
count.
Lamar.
Right.
And,
I'm talking about running backs.
Yeah, the other eight were by Zay Flowers. We had
that
two
don't
of
count,
them.
So that's not a run.
Gus Edwards had three, and Justice Hill
had
three.
That's why I said it had six.
Running backs yes. had six, yes.
And this is a team that has made their hay with this RPO game, using Lamar Jackson as a threat to keep the ball holding the backside. Safety and linebacker, you really have to take your hat off to Spagnuolo because he's a big game coordinator. Mm-hmm. His defense may be middle of the pack during a regular year, but you know this year they're good. And that's why I said when people were talking about, hey, this is the worst offense that Mahomes ever had or this is the worst team. This is the worst offense, not the worst team.
No, his defense is
very
good. Because
his defense is elite, and, yep. they're able – to play multiple ways.
That like play the, by but that go ahead.
What Snead?
Yeah.
But the fact that
their best players played their best.
Yes.
The Chiefs.
And Lamar Jackson forced throws to where he shouldn't have to did it because you weren't getting any depth because they realized that hey, Lamar's throwing today. So like all those DBs, they're playing complex coverages and you know, he was sitting there but he had nobody to throw to. And you know, typical like they always say, hey, when you talk about evolution, you usually revert to who you are when things get rough.
Right.
Lamar didn't do that. It's almost like he was hell-bent to say, hey, I'm going to win from the pocket. I'm sure everybody, I'm a pocket quarterback. And I thought he was – and you heard Tony Romo. He seemed like a tick late in deciding to run or not run. Like, the one that he came through on the sneak, like, it looked like he jawed. I'm like, bro, you're way faster than Snead. You had the angle. You should have made it a foot race. But he's slowing down, looking like – put his arm out. He didn't look like he was, like, decisive.
So is that
– he was stuck in
is
between.
Is that hesitation a lack of preparation for his game plan? But, again, is that on the off – or is this a guy – like, did Lamar know, just like we all knew, how big of a game this was for him and the pressure got to him?
He felt the pressure, and I felt like the pressure was magnified because the defense – he couldn't say, oh, we'll figure it out. We're going to stay in our groove. This is a punt fest right now. Their defense was giving up seven and nine play drives, right? That's the problem. They get up seven, nine play drives. So now Monken went away from it. It's like okay, we're behind. We got to throw. That ain't who you are. Like, that's why I always applaud.
But it wasn't like they were down by two, three scores.
But it felt like that. It felt like, oh, we're down 10, and if we don't score a touchdown, then Mahomes is going to go on a nine-play drive and score again. And then the whole Zay Flowers thing happened, the punch of the ball, great play.
What a play.
That's one of those great plays.
Never giving up on
that teams
it,
that always win, you know, make. And people have to assess, you know, should he have stood down there and just ran through, diving? You know, that's a bang-bang play. I can't hold that against them, but they made the plays and they didn't.
Can I also then –
Three turnovers.
Yes.
Fumble, yes.
Two fumbles
and an interception.
Right, yeah, Lamar had – but the penalties, what was the story with the penalties that they were taking and they felt like, again, that they were too hyped – defensively, the stuff they were trying to do, you saw Kelce was jawing and he was getting guys off their game.
Yeah, he was pushing guys, yeah.
They were clotheslining Mahomes. They were doing stuff to Mahomes as if they were trying to hurt him.
Well, the Mahomes thing,
what was
like,
that
it's him
about?
Sticking his arm out. But the whole thing that, like, you all week, Pacheco's going to do this. So, like, you saw him, like, they were violent on Pacheco. but then they're too gassed up and losing their composure, right? Van Noy. Like, Van Noy's been in Super Bowls, man. He's been the Patriots in the Patriots way. For him to come up there knowing you touch, it's always the second person.
Yes.
Right? Zay Flowers, the guy holding your leg.
Yep.
Right? Not letting you up. And then you push him down, but then you spin the ball in front of him.
Yep. Yeah.
Those are points, right? And you know, you lose by, I forget what the final score was. They lose by
seven.
They lose by seven, right? Just think of those two field goals there, right?
But that's what I was asking you is that, you know, that's a team, played for them. You guys were always on the edge. You guys were always emotional. That was a big thing with you and Ray and everybody.
Sometimes you can be too emotional.
This felt too emotional. Like, they were psyched out. They were home. The place was rocking.
They're like, let's be the bullies.
And it's like they play with no composure. Is that on Harbaugh? Who's this on? They had no composure in the first half of this game.
Right.
None. And as things weren't going their way, they got worse with some of the stuff they were doing. And the Chiefs were laughing at them because they had been there before.
Right.
They could recognize it.
It always compounds. Right.
Right.
Like I said, like, Monken never made the adjustment. Right. You talk about making the adjustment, understanding that the game plan that we have now, we got to tweak it. And the crazy thing is, what did Harbaugh say coming out of halftime? We got to run the ball and establish the run. And that's what we get. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? We got to run the ball and establish the run. Yeah. Like, they out there with six DBs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you, and the crazy thing is, you can see at the end that Kansas City defense was wore down, and that's without running the ball. So if you would have ran the ball, they would have been wore down. That's why I always appreciate Vrabel, because no matter what, when they're down two scores, they still run the ball. Because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that guy comes down, because your defensive line is getting wore out and they can't pass rush because they're getting wore out, soon as you put them down, and we got you. Like, soon as you decide and you go down there, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to keep bludgeoning you, and these are body blows.
Make you quit.
Right, these are body blows. It's like Roberto Duran, or it's like, you know, it's like.
No mas.
Yeah, he's, you know, it's like they're getting to your body, and it's like all the flashy punches by the other guy. And you're like, man, like, then you start looking at the other guy in the third or fourth quarter.
Yeah,
like,
they're sucking wind.
I don't think he can finish.
Yeah.
Like, and it becomes one of those things. Do they get to the finish line before as they try and coast because they're beat up? And now everything's open. The bank would have been open in the fourth quarter if they would have continued to run the ball and put body blows. But you let them off the hook. You got a 300-pound fullback, man. You got three tight ends. And you went away from that, right? Physicality always wins, right? How did the Lions get up? Physicality,
yes.
Running the ball.
Yes.
And then
Penei Sewell was dominant in the first half of that game.
And then they forgot who they were.
Right.
Right? And that's what happens. You got to know who you are, who your identity is. And their identity for the Ravens is running the football. The defense finishes out in the second half. But also, like, you talk about McDonald. Right? And my gripe with him is, why did it take to the second half for you to slow? Like, if we believe that, hey, Valdez-Scantling ain't it, Rice ain't it, Marlon Humphreys is a $100 million corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have had doubles on
Flowers?
On Rice.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I would have had a double. Like, I understand Kyle Hamilton has stopped everybody. But I don't care. It's not a safety in the league, no matter how good he is, that can shut down a tight end. It just don't happen. And
Kelsey a couple of times physically dominated him.
Especially, right.
And by the way, Kyle Hamilton had a hell of a game. He was everywhere.
Yes, but I'm saying the throwback. Like,
no, you're
big
right.
Play, like, why? Listen, when Bill Belichick goes against Tony Gonzalez, he would put two guys out there and press.
Take him
like,
out.
Like punt coverage.
Yeah, just take him out. Right.
Like, nah, he don't exist.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to lose, Valdez-Scantling is going to have to catch balls consistently.
Right.
Like, and they knew that there was a zone team, and Mahomes kills zone teams.
And Harbaugh said at the half that there was just too much space in the zone. And Mahomes was finding all the space.
You want to know why space in the zone? Because this dude moving through all zones.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, he run, did he spin backwards? That's what he's always done. That's what they want. What they don't want is for you to have somebody being physical on him, because guess what? If it's in a run game, you're pushing him back, right? He's not a great – he's not Kittles, right? He's not he's willing, but he's not Kittles.
Mm.
That's when you put two on him. You can always put two on somebody because the quarterback doesn't count.
Speaking of Kittles, before we go, Did you see when he went one on one with Hutchinson?
Yeah,
and he got his he just
see, but that, that
his leg just gave out.
See, like, but see, but that happens though, and I understand what happened to Hutchinson, and he's going to learn that when you're going against a guy like that, you have to worry about playing the block. You can't peekaboo in the back, because if you peekaboo, he's going to forklift your ass.
He did.
And that's what happened. Like, it's a stalemate, and then usually what defenders do, they start looking at
pancake.
People come through, and they look to reach their arms out. When you do that, you become soft.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. He pancaked him. He made him feel it. And, you know, Kittles was like, you know, he's a habitual line stepper as well.
No, that was something.
But I'm just surprised that the, you know, so now you have to ask yourself. So, listen, the same criticism that Dak got, the same criticism that Josh Allen got,
Lamar?
We have to get the same criticism of Lamar Jackson. He choked. He choked.
Wow.
The moment was way too big for the MVP, and now you got to ask yourself, remember, last time he got here and he was MVP, it took him 2 years to get back to the playoffs. So now can he stay healthy next year? Now this is a team with a huge cap number. They're probably going to use lose Medibike, right? Medibike, you know, balled out yesterday, and he had 13 sacks this year with second-team All-Pro. Somebody's going to give him a bag, and the Ravens don't really have the money. We're a year or two away from Lamar's contract starting to be suffocating when you think about, you know, the bag that he got, right? Now, he's 2 years behind Mahomes, and, like, if Mahomes gets another one, man, this is probably the worst team that they're going to be on, because, like, they got to play Snead, and they're going to maybe, you know, maybe they lose Chris Jones or something. But they got to pay some people there too, as, you know, Bolton and all these guys there. But if he gets this one, that's why you got to try when you, before you have to pay guys.
Yes,
that's why you got to hurry and try to win as many as you can.
You got to win them while you can.
That's Buffalo's issue, and
then Baltimore as well. We got to leave it there, Bart. But fascinating stuff there, and what you just said about Lamar. Coming up in Audio Files, you'll hear from Lamar Jackson and how he felt about the performance. He was pretty blunt as well with himself. All that coming up and more. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. No other way to say it. Yesterday, a brutal day for the Baltimore Ravens and a brutal day for Lamar Jackson. Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rex Ryan was a guest of Rick and Dave, and Rex said main problem for Lamar was he was trying to be somebody else.
Two times this guy's won the MVP, and that's more of a reflection of their defense than it is him. To me, it's like, what do they got, one win? And those two MVPs, they got one playoff win? I don't know why Lamar decided, I've got to throw the ball. The best thing you do is run. You don't have to apologize for it. What the hell are you doing?
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
That's my dog. I can't even say that with confidence, man. I'm so broken.
Yeah, I was going to say, you definitely don't have the same energy.
Because I don't want Mahomes to win another title because I don't want to hear that dumb debate, but then I don't want to see Brock Purdy win because then that goes away.
We're the underdog.
Yeah. He's played like crap, and the teams have left him off the hook. Yeah, he made enough plays to win. No, Purdy.
Oh, the Purdy thing.
And even on that deep ball, do you see how hard it was for him to push that ball down the field?
Let me tell you something. What he did in the second half, is he still – like, I was going to ask that question. You think he's still mid? Like, we act like a guy who's a game manager.
Nah, there isn't
a skill to that.
Nah, what he did is they must have told him, when you see cover one, just run. Don't even try and read anything. Just run.
Okay.
And he did a great job. But I think that
you don't think processing the way he can process is a skill?
I think that game was lost.
More than it was won?
Of course. When you're up 17 and you're doing what you're doing, like,
I think that's fair.
Fumble.
Still have to make the plays though.
Fumble, ball hit you in the face mask.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I know
it's clear, even though the stats don't back it up, that Jared Goff was a cleaner quarterback, and he should be, right? Because his pedigree, right? All the records he holds.
But he couldn't run.
Yeah.
Couldn't move.
And that's the issue. Like, Peyton and a lot of guys don't move.
I get it, but.
But that's, you know, Brock Purdy just did what he just.
Bart, he was.
Seized the moment.
Purdy was 20 for 31. First, let's start there. Efficient.
Yeah, I really don't care about that, though, because I'm looking at the game. I'm looking at the game and the limitations that he had, right? And the plays that weren't made because the Detroit Lions secondary are god awful. Like, awful.
Okay. Well, they still got to the championship game.
No. And to be honest, right. I'd much rather Kyle Shanahan and them get their first win because I feel like it forces them to have to play Brock Purdy, which breaks up their team.
They have to pay him, yeah.
Their San Francisco defense is garbage. They've been garbage.
Right, you've had a lot of strong statements here. It is a Football Monday on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by InfinityUSA.com. Discover more about the luxury and performance of an Infiniti QX60 crossover at InfinityUSA.com or visit your local Infiniti dealer today. With that in mind, Bart, I know you've got still more to say about this, and we will certainly continue to talk about it. But right now it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
The gong sounded good there. It had like a little bit of a reverb gong to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sweet spot. Yeah,
it was definitely a sweet spot.
That was like a backhand hit.
It was a little backhand, yeah. But it was the way it hit.
You hit it up upwards instead of downward. Yeah, that's upward instead of downward. You know what I'm saying?
That just had a better sound to it.
Like to hit it upward.
All right, so you were just talking about Lamar Jackson, and you said, and I quote, he choked. That's a strong statement from you, and I know how much you love his game. You love him, and I know you're a Raven
through and through. And all that stuff. But
so for you to say that's not easy. Yeah. So again, Lamar Jackson, and I said I felt like he was trying to almost like play up to Patrick Mahomes. Like he almost felt like he was pressure, like almost put pressure on himself to try to show he could be as good as him. So he was asked, were you pressing throughout this game?
Do you feel like at times maybe you were trying to do too much, or was just the team just trying to battle back?
I'm trying to win. I don't think you're doing too much when you're trying to win out there. You thought so?
I was just asking a question, that's all.
For sure. No, I don't think so, though.
And he talked about the future, like you said.
He's
for them.
Pressing. What do you mean? That is trying to do too much if you're not
He said he's trying to win.
Yes, but trying to win, you mean trying to do too much. You're doing too much. You're not seeing the game. He was sped up. He wasn't poised. And like whenever you throw a ball to a tight end when it's three people around him, you're trying to do too much.
That was a bad, bad throw. Here he talks about that pick and like what did you see?
I see Tampa 2. I see both of them trailing him. And I didn't want to throw it all out the end zone. I just tried to like let him turn around and make a play. I thought it was going to be P.I., but you know, it is what it is. The safety made a great play and made an interception.
So was he throwing that to get the flag? Is that what he was looking for?
He said, So when he says he read cover two, Tampa 2.
Tampa 2, right.
That means that you have the middle of the field is open, yes. But it's closed by the Mike linebacker. So you know that the Mike linebacker, Bolton, is only about 5'11", you know your guy's 6'4", 6'5", so you throw it up there. As long as his back's turned, he can't make a play on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But because they didn't have anybody occupying the safety closed on it as well, who's usually a half player. Well, if you don't have anybody in the half but that guy, then the half player is going to come back. You have to occupy that guy. So he threw it into three people, and yeah, okay.
Well, when he threw it, it wasn't three. But the ball in the air, two converged and made it a three.
Right,
yeah.
it was two trailing, so yes. It probably was the curl window guy and the three receiver hook guy, right? So what happens is the backside, even half guy came there. I think that's the guy who picked it off because they didn't occupy him, right? If you think about the field, they got two deep, but it becomes three deep. So, like, he's trailing the play. But if nobody else is going deep, then the deep person is going to be deeper than the deepest. So, it allows him to come off, especially if he sees the other guys are covered, come off and jump it. So, to me, that was bad, bad read by him.
Mm.
No, because guess what? Also, like, usually when they do that, they have a dagger underneath. So, when I say a dagger, they have a deep square in. Right, so when you go somebody vertical, because you have to eat that backside safety up, and they didn't occupy him, so he came off and he made the play because he knew they were pressing.
They had nobody else out there to cover, basically.
Yeah, so it was like, all right.
The minute the ball went up, it's like, all right, go to
the
ball.
They read the quarterback eyes.
Yeah. All right, on the other side of it, speaking of quarterbacks, it's Patrick Mahomes. And for the first time, winning games on the road in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl, and he was an underdog against the Bills and an underdog against the Ravens. And here's Mahomes about being that underdog.
Yeah, it was cool. Just going to two hostile environments, having to come together as a team and to win those games and hold that trophy. It really was special. But if I had my choice, I'd rather do it at Arrowhead. So we'll try, after we go through the Super Bowl and hopefully win it, we're going to try to get it back at Arrowhead next year.
I mean, this is a team, you got to admit, like, this is a machine. And yeah. they are
now,
the standard.
Right now it's their window, right? And, like, until somebody like hires Spags away for a head coach.
Again.
Right. They need to hire him away as a head coach.
Right. That's,
you ain't going to be able to break it down because it's the thing. Like, their packages are able to grow because they keep continuity in the the enemy leaves, they bring back Nagy. So they see the continuity they have.
Right.
Now we talk about, oh, the Ravens are so great. Okay, they're going to lose their coordinator to a head coach job to either Seattle or to the Commanders, right? So like, oh, look how great, you know, Ben Johnson calls plays for the Lions, but they're gonna lose them.
Mm-hmm.
See, but meanwhile, Spags didn't even attempting. How many job interviews has Spags got?
Well, he's been in the league so long now. For him, it's like about just this is who I am and this is where I want to be because winning.
Yeah, but Vic Fangio took that head coaching job for Denver at 60 something,
right?
So like, he's content. Mm-hmm. And just being there and stacking Super Bowls up instead of leaving it. So until somebody can interview him or take him away, we need a team that's sorry just to take him away for us somebody else can win.
All right, the Lions side of things, they were so close. They were right there. I mean, you could almost taste it. You had Eminem.
They were dominating.
And Eminem was at the game. And at halftime, he's like double birding all of the Niners fans. A great photo that was going around of that, him in his suite just throwing the birds up at them. And the Niners fans throwing him back. It's hysterical. But that journey played at halftime. And Don't Stop Believing is what they performed. The whole building was singing it. And it just felt like the Niners just to flip the script in that second half. But all Dan Campbell had to do, a lot of people think, is just kick two field goals that he was in range of in that second half. And maybe the Lions are off to their first Super Bowl. But that's not what they've done all season, and it wasn't what he was about to do, even in the most important game. He just said that it was the call that he believed in, and he would do it again.
I just felt really good about us converting, getting our momentum, and not letting them play long ball. You know, they were bleeding the clock out. That's what they do. And I wanted to get the upper hand back. It's easy hindsight, and I get it. You know, I get that. But I don't regret those decisions, and that's hard because, you know, we didn't come through. It wasn't able to work out, but I don't. And I understand the scrutiny I'll get. That's part of the gig, man, but this didn't work out.
But the thing is, they can't bleed the clock out
if they're down 10. Right, yes.
Like, you're up. It's not like this beginning of the game. Like, you're up. Like, if you were tied – It's like, bro, you're up. So points as a premium to make it 2-point scores, two-game scores. And maybe it's a better instance where you get one of these explosive plays like you got early in the first half when you just play, right? It just allows please bleed the clock out.
Yeah. Can I just say, though, doesn't Dan Campbell sound like Big Lebowski, the dude? When he talks and he just has a deep accent when he talks.
Yeah, I mean, he's a likable character.
He really is likable.
I just don't know.
Easy to root for.
I just don't know what this team looks like without Johnson, man. Like, he's such a great play caller, man. Like, Geno Smith is going to be. If I'm him, I'm taking the Seattle job. Like,
with the weapons they have there?
Yeah, and if I'm Seattle, like, McDonald is not even, like, he's if I can't convince Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Because just think, Metcalf.
No, I know. They have
Lockett.
Yes.
And Jigba. They have
weapons.
Yeah. But they have two stone cold running backs. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have.
They still got Bobby Wagner.
Their pick, too? Don't they have a decent pick?
Well, I don't know if they still have Denver's pick. I don't know if that's still the case.
Well, anyways.
But they didn't make the playoffs. So it's going to be top 15.
All right. Before we, let's just finish up with, let's hear from, of course, the winning team, the 49ers. Apparently, there was a big halftime speech, big message.
That stuff don't matter.
That was given. So Nick Bosa had something to say at halftime.
I'm not a big talker, but I just said, do your job. Do your job. When you break down one guy, they get 10 yards a pop. Just do your job, everybody, and play the best second half we can.
Do your job. Isn't that very much a Belichickian kind of thing?
Yeah, but they assisted them to do their job, man. Like, it's about ebb and flows, man, and you got to be able to regain it. And a field goal just stops momentum. Points just stops momentum. No defense leaves the field like, man, we just gave a field goal. No defense like, oh, good, great job, D.
That is Audio Files brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall. Make your best deal right now at Sansone Auto Mall. Tell them Bart Scott sent you and take an extra $1,000 off your best deal. Call 1-800-SANSONE.
Sitting here salty today.
Today you are. 800-919-3776. Talk to Bart.
No joy in my life right now.
Talk to Bart about what you saw yesterday on the field and the Ravens and the Lions and the pain that he is going through today. But we have now a matchup of the Niners and the Chiefs. Any early predictions? We'll get back into, of course, the NBA conversation, 2 o'clock hour, the latest on Julius Randle and his injury and more. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, let's get some calls. 800-919-3776. We go to Danny in Centerport. What's up, Danny?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, Bart, you just said it, and just give me a second here, man, because, listen, you guys know where my heart lies, right? And that's the way I would feel like a Jet AFC championship game would go or something like that. You know, I feel so bad for the people of Detroit and their fans. It makes me sick to my stomach. And you know, again, I bleed green. I think Detroit was America's team yesterday, and Dan Campbell really let them down, man. I mean, if he sticks to his laurels like he did. I thought he grew up, guys, as a coach in the first half. He kicks that field goal. I'm screaming at my TV, kick the field goal, Dan, please. And he does it. If he sticks to those laurels in the third and fourth quarter, guys, they're going to the Super Bowl. This man changed the emotion of that game. He changed the field position, and he changed the score in one stupid move. And I feel so bad for those fans because I feel it as a Jet fan. I really do. Those people were in that stadium in Detroit dying to rejoice, and he let them down. And I have to hear him, guys. Sorry for rambling here, but I'm trying to get it all out. I feel he stood up at the podium and said that he knows how hard it could be to get back to this spot, and he's probably going to lose his offensive coordinator, Bart, like you just said. He may lose an impact player or two, yet he still made those reckless decisions. That was reckless. I understand it got you to the where you are, but at some point, just like you said, Bart, you have to learn where you are in the game, where you are in the season, and what it all really means. He seriously cost this team a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and that I believe in my heart of hearts. 17 points with that first field goal in the third quarter. They're up 17 with like 22 minutes left to play in the game. That was asinine. I cannot believe this man let this city and these fans down, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm disappointed that he did that. I think that, you know, no-brainer, he should just kick the field goal, right, and put the pressure back on him. I feel like in the time of the game, you can see the momentum was moving. And, you know, the fourth, even if you get on fourth down, man, like, you still got to go and score. Like, so then if it would have been fourth and five and he was on the 10, but he had to win for it again, like, how stupid would that have been? Fourth and five, the odds of getting fourth and five. It was fourth and three, man.
You just feel like...
Like, fourth and one, like, is still a threat of a run. And I remember on one of them, right, he went for the... It was third and 12, and he went for a run the opposite way, and Gibbs got it. It was like third and 12, and he ran the ball because he knew he was going to go for a fourth. But that just wasn't the case, man.
But how about also having to burn the timeout by calling a running play there down at the end when they finally did score, but they got stopped? It was Jameson Williams got absolutely blown up by was it Fred Warner? Just got absolutely trucked, and it just blew up the play. And now the clock's running, and you got to call. He has to blow the timeout there. So now you only have two timeouts, which means you're going to have to onside kick now.
Right.
Like all the things like that just got built up that he had to go through there. But none of that, you know, it's like none of this would have happened if Woody had called the police, right? Yeah. If you just kicked the field goals, none of that would have mattered.
You know what it feels like to me? It feels like, you know, I understand that like he went down being who he wanted to be, and I can applaud that. It reminds me of just being on first and goal from there and throwing the ball three times instead of running the ball four times, you know, when we're in the AFC Championship against the Steelers. It's like, come on, man. We can get a yard, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, we can jump over the top. Like, we can wedge. I mean, we could have tush-pushed that thing. Like, come on, man. Like,
you still are frustrated by that. All right, here's what we'll do.
But I feel like the letdown that we had because, oh, man, or Ben scrambles and picks up the first down is like, I feel like that's how the Lions fans feel.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's the same kind of feeling because it's a fan base that knows nothing
like,
but
man, we had them.
We blew it. Right. We had them, but we blew it. And will we ever get back
and
there again?
And the Jets ain't been back there in 13 years.
Like I said, can't wait. Still waiting. All right, we'll go full buffet in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll reset on the Knicks and Julius Randle news. If you haven't heard it, it's not terrible. It's still not great, but it's not bad news. Adrian Wojnarowski gave us the latest. We'll tell you all about that. We got your calls on the football and the basketball and everything else that you want to get into in the 2 o'clock hour. The Power Hour is coming up. But first, I want to tell you, happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And if you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday is all about scoring the best seat on the couch, grabbing your favorite football snacks, and placing some super bets. And I tell you what, Bart, it might have been a rough weekend for you, but I went 4-0. Got the picks right. Over-unders right.
You Judas.
4-0. I'm thrilled.
I told you, man. 50-50. It's all on him, man. It's on Attila.
He gonna kill you, Lionheart. Well, FanDuel has many ways for you to end the season with a dub or two or three or maybe four like I did. Not only can you bet on who will win the Super Bowl, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points will be scored, and so much more. New customers join today. You'll get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older, physically present in New York. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So Chiefs and 49ers for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, guys were talking about the big game with Rex Ryan, who said the 49ers' issues on defense cannot be fixed by the time they face KC.
No, this defense is not good. And I can tell you this, if I'm watching TV and can tell you the exact coverage they're in, that's not a good thing. They knew, here's man coverage. Here's quarters. That's what they live in. Oh, here's cover three. They knew exactly what that team was in. Patrick Mahomes, when he knows exactly what you're in, that's not a good thing.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it is Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew. Honey, during tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.